It's Wednesday, December 24th, 2008, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Apologize for missing you yesterday. Yesterday, of course, was Festivus.
A Festivus for the rest of us!
And I had volunteered my time, and most importantly, my 4x4 8-cylinder Jeep with the chains on it, to help out my friends here in the Portland area who were stranded at home for the past 3 or 4 days underneath the snow and ice that has buried the Pacific Northwest. I figured I'd get out in the morning and help people and be back through the afternoon and put down the podcast. And, well, the next thing you know, it went from 10 a.m. to about 7:30 p.m. when I got home. Then, of course, I had to watch my bowl game where my alma mater, Boise State Broncos, lost a 17-16 game. This just following my Green Bay Packers, who had lost their game on Monday night, most disappointingly, in overtime. Bah humbug for me this Christmas, I suppose. But don't worry, we'll get your hopes up here on the Daily Audio Stash and get you ready for a cannabis-themed Christmas or whatever holiday you're celebrating here in the dead of winter. First of all, we've got our regular cannabis science segment. We're going to be visiting with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's going to give us some history of cannabis and hemp during the Christmas seasons, past and present. Also, we'll be talking a little bit about edibles and what you need to know if you're going to be mixing cannabis with food this holiday season. In our second interview segment, instead of an interview, we're going to bring you some comedy, the old classic favorite from Cheech and Chong, Santa Claus and His Old Lady. And in between, we've got a special cannabis Christmas-themed musical break. I've got a couple songs from my friend Chief Greenbud, one from the prolific rapper Jet Baker, and the one from Willie Nelson and Stephen Colbert that's heating up the internet. Also, a big special from 1938, Trixie Smith with some reefer jazz. All that coming up in a special Christmas-themed extended musical break. I hope you're having a warm and wonderful and safe and happy holiday season with the people you love, and I certainly hope that Santa has bestowed upon you some herbal gifts of great joy and tidings. Let's sit back and spark up a Yuletide bowl. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
We'll be right back. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Arizona Attorney General might consider legalized marijuana. From the East Valley Tribune. Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard said Tuesday he might be willing to consider legalizing marijuana if a way can be found to control its distribution and figure out who has been smoking it. Goddard said marijuana sales make up 75% of the money that Mexican cartels use for other operations, including smuggling other drugs and fighting the Mexican army and police. He said that makes fighting drug distribution here important to cut off that cash. He acknowledged those profits could be slashed if possession of marijuana were not a crime in Arizona. But Goddard said a number of other hurdles remain before that even becomes a possibility. Arizona's drug laws came up during questions about the operation of drug cartels and the violence associated with their operations, particularly in the Mexican state of Sinaloa. Matthew Allen, a special agent in charge of the Office of Investigations for the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, said, quote, "The key is they will no longer exist when people don't buy marijuana. This is a market-driven economy, and this is a market-driven activity," end quote. Whoa. This is something when an attorney general even broaches the subject of legalization. Arizona's beginning to feel the heat from the intense shooting war on their southern border. They're realizing that you cannot stamp out the suppliers when there is an overwhelming demand for their product. The Mexican cartels can simply buy the people, ammunition, and equipment they need. But he still can't make the leap. Legalization is not even a possibility. He says there are other hurdles that remain. How would we control its distribution? Well, you're not controlling it now. The criminals are. So anything you try at this point has got to be more successful. Here's an idea. Model what they're doing now, but make it a legal and regulated enterprise. How will we know who's smoking it? Well, how do you do that now? Your question supposes that legal cannabis will mean suddenly that people will smoke it. They're smoking it now. If cannabis is so subtle a drug that the only way you can assume someone is on it is to catch them in possession of it in their jeans pocket or its metabolite in their urine, then just how badly do you need to know someone is smoking it? We've been at prohibition so long that its obvious failure and demonstrated harms are less scary to politicians and law enforcement than the thought of a young adult growing and smoking a plant with no repercussions. Birmingham, Alabama's newest council member expresses remorse for 2003 marijuana charge. From the Birmingham News. New Birmingham City Council member Jonathan F. Austin, during a press conference today, says he has no plans to resign, despite revelations Tuesday that he had pleaded guilty in 2003 to a misdemeanor marijuana charge. Council members learned Tuesday of Austin's history, but Council President Carol Smitherman said she doubted the charge rose to the level of moral turpitude, a standard for barring officials from office. She said the council would investigate the conviction and meet soon with its lawyer. Austin, age 29, was selected by the council to represent District 5, filling a seat formerly held by William Bell, who joined the Jefferson County Commission last month. The council did not do criminal background checks on the applicants for the seat, she said. Court records show Austin was arrested January 25, 2003, after a traffic stop in Tuscaloosa for speeding. Tuscaloosa County Sheriff's deputies found a pipe, about a half ounce of marijuana, and a set of scales. Austin was charged with possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. He pleaded guilty to second-degree possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was placed on 2 years probation and received a 90-day suspended sentence after he agreed to attend court-ordered drug and alcohol treatment classes. Austin said he no longer uses marijuana. Austin will serve until the term expires in October. He said he then plans to run for a full term on the council. As I read the comments on the Birmingham News website, there was a lot of discussion about the scales in Austin's possession. Some people said it was so obvious Austin was dealing because he had scales. Often, prosecutors will hold that possession of the scales proves intent to distribute. Austin probably pleaded guilty as part of a deal to avoid a more serious distribution charge. Many readers commented in reply that plenty of cannabis consumers keep scales to make sure the black market dealer they're purchasing from isn't trying to short them. I'd want to know what kind of scales we're talking about. If they're those little pocket counterweight clip-to-the-baggy jobs for eyeballing an eighth, they're certainly not intended for career pot dealing. If they are those accurate to a microgram triple beam balances, then maybe you have a better argument. Regardless, it was 2003. He went through the judicial system, completed probation successfully, and his drug and alcohol classes. This story highlights that morality is the strongest reason for cannabis prohibition. He never spent a day in jail and has been a model citizen since, and that's still not enough for the anti-drug prudes. That he used the demon weed is enough to suspect his nefarious intents on the Birmingham City Council over the next 10 months. It's also a good reminder to tokers everywhere. Think about whether you really want to own scales. If you're buying a $50 eighth and it's shy half a gram, you're out $2.55. If you were paying a 5.1% sales tax on your $50 purchase, it would have been $2.55 anyway. That's $2.55 instead of a tacked-on distribution charge if you're ever caught with that scale. Milkman who supplied cannabis to elderly patients faces jail. A milkman who supplied cannabis to elderly customers to ward off their aches and pains is facing a possible jail term in Britain. Robert Holding, age 72, pleaded guilty in Burnley Crown Court on two counts of supplying and possessing the drugs, newspapers reported on Tuesday. The court in Lancashire, northwest England, heard that Holding supplied cannabis to 17 households when residents left handwritten requests out with their empty milk bottles. Defense lawyer William Holden said Holding had told police the drug was for, quote, elderly people with aches and pains, end quote. Those he supplied, and there were not many, were through word of mouth, and his customers were all of a certain age, the Daily Mail quoted Holden as saying. Adjourning the case for a pre-sentence report, Judge Beverly Lunt flagged a likely prison term. She said, quote, "You must understand these are serious offenses, and in my judgment, the likely outcome is an immediate custodial sentence," she said. Thought number one, the milkman who delivers weed is named Holding. File this one in the Dr. Mitch Earlywine appropriate names file. And then his defense lawyer is Holden? Really? Thought number two. I didn't know there really were still milkmen in this world, much less those who will deliver cannabis. I thought these days milkmen only existed as plot devices in pornography. So I'm told. Thought number three. A 72-year-old man is delivering cannabis to other elderly people, and you want to throw him in jail? Because what? Stone geriatrics are a threat to society and a drain on productivity? Because smoking pot is a serious danger to their health and longevity? I think when you reach a certain age, and let's say that's average life expectancy at your birth, like age 72 or so, you should be allowed to use any drug you like. That's your final age to wait for. 16 for driving, 18 for smokes, 21 for booze, 35 for president, 55 for the AARP, 65 to retire, and then finally, at age 72, you get to smoke, drink, snort, shoot, eat, whatever you like. Thought number four. Keith Stropp has made a point about growing older and the aches and pains that come with it, and the use of cannabis at a certain age is by definition medical. I agree with him, although I think I set the age at about 22. And thought number five, I had just barely posted that story when I went and looked at a Fox News coverage of the same story. In the final paragraph of their four-paragraph blurb on the milkman story, they write,
"Although several U.S. states, including California, allow marijuana to be sold for medicinal purposes, studies on whether it's an effective pain reliever have been conflicting. A 2007 study published in the Journal of Anesthesiology found that too much marijuana actually makes pain worse."
Studies have been conflicting. So, where is the mention of the three separate studies this year alone showing inhaled cannabis to be a superior pain remedy for neuropathic pain, a condition difficult to treat with opiates? Or how about the studies showing combined use of cannabis and opiates seem to boost the analgesic effects of the opiates and reduce the dosage of opiates needed? And then the study you cite to show this conflict between the several, is 13 too hard to count, states that recognize cannabis treatment for pain is a study that showed that the use of moderate potency cannabis is a successful treatment for reducing pain. Whew, Fox News, when you go for that whole fair and balanced angle, remember that fact does not require fiction for balance. Hey there, Stashers. How would you like to win a 6-night trip to the most cannabis-friendly spot on Earth? That's right, a trip to Amsterdam for four, sponsored by the Normal Foundation. It's an exciting new fundraiser for our organization, partnering with Win for Charity to help us raise money so we can provide programs and services to normal members like you. Win for Charity is an online hosting solution for charitable organizations that allows us to harness the power of the internet to increase our fundraising ability. How do you win? Simple. Just go to www.winforcharity.com/normal. That's win, the number four, charity.com/NORML. Click your buy ticket now button, then just select normal as your charity. The vacation package includes 6 nights in an Amsterdam city hotel, including breakfast, entrance to the Rijksmuseum, and a canal bus day pass, round-trip airfare, private transfers from airport to hotel and hotel to airport, a full-day tour to Delft, The Hague, and Madurodam, and a full-day tour to the Windmills and Volendam. Get your tickets now at winforcharity.com/normal. Your ticket helps to support our organization, and you could win 6 nights in Amsterdam. Who is telling you the truth about marijuana? The government? Scientists? Doctors? Which claims are scientifically valid, and which claims are reefer madness? Every Wednesday, we separate the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with Normal's look at cannabis science. Well, today is Christmas Eve, and a lot of people are celebrating tomorrow, the holiday of Christmas. And here we are at the Daily Audio Stash with one of the few people who wasn't on a Christmas break, or at least someone who had come and joined me on the stash this week while almost everybody else was. So it's Dr. Mitch Earlywine again for Cannabis Science. And Dr. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Oh, hooray. I'm glad to be the one.
You are the one. I'm snowed in here in Portland. How are things up in New York?
Oh, I just dug out about 8 inches on the driveway, and we're going to build a giant snowman later.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So we were thinking about different traditions here that people have for Christmas and the holidays, and I was trying to find a way that I would tie that into cannabis, but lo and behold, you send me an email, and you've got the tie-in. It turns out that the hemp was quite a Christmas tradition for some of the ancient peoples.
Oh, it's curious. Back in what's now Poland and Lithuania, there was this hemp seed porridge, and it's hard to pronounce. It's basically called semienienka, and every Christmas Eve they would get this out and basically, you know, stir up the hemp seeds and make it a little bit like oatmeal, if you will, and, you know, spice it up the way they could with what was available, and that was sort of this little Christmas Eve treat. And I just thought, you know, while I'm looking at that, what are the characteristics of edible hemp and all the other aspects of hemp that we could could be growing here in the U.S. if only we had the legal wherewithal and all of that. Hemp seeds themselves are about, you know, 20 to 25% protein. They have pretty much all the essential amino acids for human health. So unlike a lot of vegetarian sources of protein, they're pretty good for, you know, keeping your protein needs going all on your own. And downright delicious, to tell you the truth. I've had these hemp seed snacks. Some people press them into bars. They grind them into flour and make pretzels and things like that. And they really are good just roasted and spiced up. To tell you the truth, I like them. And they're, you know, less fat than a potato chip or something like that. And when we actually had some hemp cereal at Trader Joe's back when I was in Los Angeles, unfortunately the legal ramifications of that got a little hairy, and the government didn't want to have hemp-based foods. But really none of this contains THC. The seeds themselves rarely have any THC at all, unless they're sort of got some leftover leaves or things like that on them. And then we can, you know, go from the food to the wonderful oils. There's salad oils made from pressed hemp seeds. They happen to have those omega-3 and omega-6 things that are so good for cardiac health that everybody's sucking the fish oil down with. If you want a vegetarian source, hemp oil is a splendid one. It doesn't have some of the drawbacks that flaxseed oil can have, although that one's also very popular and very good for folks. And in fact, there's a wonderful hemp seed cookbook that our friend Don Warshafter put out in the early 90s, and I just think it's splendid that we have this kind of availability.
Yeah, I always look back in the history books there, in the or even old cartoons where they talk about the guy who was in the trapped in the dungeon in the cellar, and they'd be feeding him gruel, and his gruel was like that hemp seed porridge, was it not?
Very much so. I think they could have made it a little tastier. but bottom line was, you know, you just take the seeds and cook them up and away you go. And, you know, just it's kind of sad that basically since the Marijuana Tax Act back in 1937, we just don't have access to this wonderful plant. You know, you've been following some of the laws in California, and quite a few other states have tried to pass laws to get hemp growing again, in part because it makes wonderful fiber, it makes a wonderful cloth, and really can turn into, you know, an amazing market for us, particularly at a time when we could really use every kind of industrial resource we could get. Arkansas, California, Hawaii, Illinois, Kentucky, all kinds of states have, you know, proposed laws of one kind or another, and they keep getting turned down. And I think it's partly a byproduct of a misunderstanding about how hemp is grown and how, you know, psychoactive cannabis is grown. And people say, oh, people are going to grow, you know, psychoactive cannabis in between the hemp or something like that. And that, as you, you know, talk to any grower, you understand that that's completely retarded. Hemp has really long stalks. You want a nice, long, stringy stem, if you will, because that's what's going to turn into the fiber, as opposed to cannabis grown for other effects. Medical cannabis, we want bigger buds and smaller stalks. Obviously, these two would just contaminate each other and wreck the hemp and the bud. It's really not a thing that anybody would have to worry about as far as legalizing industrial hemp. And there are strains now that are literally 0.15% THC. So, I mean, you could smoke the whole field and literally have nothing but a headache.
Yeah. And it's, we've got those, the farmers up in North Dakota whose case is currently being heard on appeal at the federal level, who are trying and suing the DEA to get these licenses to be able to grow industrial hemp. Because, you know, there they are in North Dakota looking across the border in Canada, trying to figure out why Canadian cops can tell the difference between hemp and marijuana, but American cops can't. It's a ridiculous proposition.
Well, and when you think about our weather down here, I mean, it's ideal throughout the U.S., even in Alaska, but, you know, better throughout the Midwest and South, where we could be growing this great guns. It's supposedly easier on the soil than, say, cotton and things like that. It doesn't require the same level of fertilizer. And, you know, what a neat way to, you know, basically turn some of this around as far as having a new product and a new opportunity for Americans to really show their ingenuity.
Absolutely. And you know, we're looking for this new green economy, and we're trying to fight greenhouse gases. And those hemp fields across America would be sucking up a lot of carbon dioxide. I did a story on Monday about how states now are cutting back on their judiciary budgets. They're cutting back on jury trials because they can't afford it, just because of the loss of revenues. And just imagine the revenues that could come in from just hemp itself, as far as a business and the jobs that could be created. And like you said, just nutritionally speaking, what could be better for this country that's, you know, so overweight and so in need of healthier foods that are economical? I mean, that's one of the big problems people don't understand about our health in this country, is that the low-cost foods are the ones that are the worst for you, and that's why we see a lot of health problems among the poor sometimes.
Well, and then the other side of this, consistent with that green theme, is the opportunity for biofuel. So hemp can also be, you know, fermented and turned into gasohol-type products and other sorts of fuels, including oils, that, you know, a relatively normal car could run on without a lot of adaptation. And we'd have, you know, yet another chance to turn some of this dependence on foreign oil around as well. It really seems like such a win-win, despite, you know, all these weird reservations folks have. There's an opportunity here to really help our economy.
Yeah, and it's got to happen sooner rather than later. I can't see that we can continue to go on the way we're going with the continued burning of oil and gasoline and you know, with the climate change problem that we're experiencing. Now, as far as Christmas itself goes and traditions among the cannabis community, I know that one of the things that I know a grower who always liked to decorate his plants with the Christmas lights. They have a big bushy marijuana plant with lights. Have you heard of any other traditions among the community out there?
As it turns out, a number of growers are really into that light thing, and I just wanted to caution folks to keep an eye on things and not turn anything into a fire hazard. The other favorite is basically it's an eggnog recipe where folks make the hemp-based butter and mix it into a sort of buttered rum or eggnog drink. And again, that's one where you got to keep an eye on the dosing, but I can certainly see that being pretty much good for what ails you on the holidays, particularly given how some folks tend to be around family they don't want to be around. This might actually take the edge off.
If people are going to be using any sort of cannabis-infused edibles like that over the holidays, and they're new to it, maybe they've smoked marijuana once or twice, but they're new to the whole edible scene, any words of wisdom that they should employ?
The bottom line is, less is more. If you remember the old Who song, a little is enough. Pete Townsend pretty much had it right when it comes to a whole lot of things, edibles included. And it's deceptive because it can often take 45 minutes to an hour to have its impact. Folks eat something, wait half an hour, and then think, oh, I need to have some more, when in fact they clearly do not. And I've been thrilled with, particularly in California, but also in some other dispensaries, how great and responsible people have been with spreading the word about edibles and how small doses can really mean a lot. It tends to metabolize more slowly and last a lot longer and can be really good for, you know, treatment of things like chronic pain, nausea, vomiting, and things along those lines. And it's you know, a habit that I feel like people can get behind, in part because there's none of the respiratory problems associated with smoking, but you do really have to pay attention to dosage. The other thing is it does still have those appetite-enhancing effects that cannabis is notorious for, and want to make sure that there's something else to eat around besides those brownies.
Yeah, exactly. And I would warn people from a legal standpoint that oftentimes the law enforcement, when they seize edibles, you get charged for the weight of the whole brownie as far as the drug charge goes. So be real careful about that. You don't want to have too much edibles on you, because that weight starts to add up, and then you're starting to look at felony charges there. But other than that, from a health perspective, yeah, it takes away that whole problem with the smoking, and it can be good for lots of patients out there who just can't inhale like that.
It's really a wonderful plant that can be, you know, adapted in so many different ways.
Absolutely. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Dr. Early Wine, and everybody else out there who's celebrating any of the holidays that you're celebrating. We hope you're having a happy one, and stay warm in there. And Dr. Lewin, again, thanks for joining us.
Actually, I just wanted to jump in. I am a little behind on my emails. I'm grateful to everyone who sent me notes, and I will be getting emails out around the first of the year in response to questions and comments and just warm wishes. And really all my gratitude to all the listeners, and have a great new year.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany, and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org. Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. All right, Stash, it's a special holiday-themed musical break this time with an extra long musical break. More songs for you so you can enjoy the holiday season. This one here is from the Stephen Colbert DVD, A Colbert Christmas, The Greatest Gift of All, which is on sale now at ComedyCentral.com and all over the internet as well. This is his duet with Willie Nelson, who plays a wise man singing "Let Not Mankind Bogart Love."
I have no money in my coffer, no gold or silver do I bring, nor have I precious jewels to offer to celebrate the newborn king. Yet do not spurn my gift completely, O ye three wise men, please demur. Behold a plant that smokes more sweetly than either frankincense or myrrh. And like the child born in this manger, this herb is mild, yet it is strong, and it brings peace to friend and stranger. Goodwill to men lies in this balm. And now my wonder weed is flaring.
Are you high?
Look like that special star above.
Can it be?
I sit around in endless sharing
on Christmas Day.
And let not mankind bogart love.
You smoke my tree.
And the wise men started talking. Yea, the bud was kind. It was salvation they were smoking, and his forgiveness blew their mind. And still that wonder weed is flaring.
Are you high?
Look like that star was once above.
You're so high.
As sit around in endless sharing,
dude, man, dude.
Let not mankind bogart love.
You're really high. I'm gonna tell your savior.
Let not mankind bogart love.
Come home, Merry Christmas, the greatest gift of all on DVD today.
Next up from Nashville, Tennessee, we've got my friend Chief Greenbud, who you can find at myspace.com/CGB. This is the first song of his I ever heard across the internet. It's a terrible dilemma that I hope nobody has to go through this time. It's called A Christmas Without Weed.
Well, it's Christmas time again. I've been calling all my friends. Well, there ain't no weed to buy, so I won't be getting high unless I smoke these seeds and stems. Well, I called my old friend Mike. He asked me what I'd like. I'd like to find some Christmas pot. I enjoy smoking a lot in this town so fucking dry. A Christmas without weed is like the bulb without the tree. A bowl without the dough is like a sleigh without the snow. Oh, can someone help me, please? Now the snowflakes start to fall. I still can't find no weed at all. Not a nickel or a dime. Running out of time, and I started to withdraw. A Christmas without weed is like the bulbs without the tree. A bowl without the dough is like a sleigh without the snow. Can someone help me, please? Well, dear Santa, won't you bring to me a big old sack of weed? Well, I'll be good next year, I swear. If you could find some pot to spare, and you could help a friend in need. Christmas without weed is like the bulbs without the tree. A bowl without the dough is like a sleigh without the snow. Can someone help me, please? Santa, don't you care? I've been pulling out my hair. Could you bring some pot to me?
Hello, Chicago!
Barack Obama has been elected the 44th President of the United States. But will he bring us, the cannabis community?
It's an issue of doctors prescribing medical marijuana. I think that should be appropriate.
Normal is asking you to take action and help us hold President-elect Obama to his word with our $10,000 pro-cannabis law reform ad contest.
When I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just make a 30 or 60 second video or flash animation that answers the question, what should President Obama do about pot? You can submit as many entries as you like, and winning videos will be featured on Normal's website and television campaigns.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
The grand prize is $3,500, so enter early and enter often.
Well, I would not punish doctors if it's prescribed. That may require some changes in federal law.
Contest deadline is January 15, 2009. Check norml.org for official contest rules.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama, we couldn't agree more.
Lest we forget, Christmas is not the only holiday people are celebrating this week. We've also got the celebration of Hanukkah for our Jewish friends, and Jet Baker has remembered that as well. Leave it to Jet, the most prolific marijuana songwriter on the internet, to come up with a Hanukkah marijuana song. This is Hydro Hanukkah from Jet Baker. Check him out at jetrap.com.
Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya. May each Hanukkah night you light be Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya. May all your Hanukkah days be high. Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya. Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year on ya. May all your Hanukkah nights you hide be Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year on ya. May each Hanukkah night you light be Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year on ya. May all your Hanukkah days be high. And a Hashi New Year under ya. May each Hanukkah night you and a Hashi New Year be high. Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya. May each Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya be high. Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya. Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya. Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya. Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya. Hydro Hanukkah and a Hashi New Year under ya.
Here's an extra special musical stash gift. Been thinking a lot about the reefer jazz that we heard from our friends the Tall Brothers up there in Vancouver, British Columbia. And this is a genre that goes back farther than any probably cannabis music genre goes. This song is one from 1938, and it's by a singer, Trixie Smith, and it's called Jack I'm Mellow. And when you hear this song, you got to remember that in the 30s and 40s, the slang term for marijuana was gauge. So when you hear her talking about smoking gauge, well, you know what she's talking about, smoking a little marijuana. This is Trixie Smith with Jack I'm Mellow. Thank you.
machine and play my solid cinder. I'm gonna scratch heck to cue. How's the moon a bender? I'm so high and so dry. I'm sailing in the sky. I got my roach around. I can't come down. Yeah, I'm mellow.
I don't know if this is a Christmas tradition around your group of cannabis-consuming friends, but it is among mine. The classic Cheech and Chong, Santa Claus and His Old Lady.
Mama, mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The vato with a bony knees, he's coming down the street with no shoes on his feet, and he's going to... No, that ain't it. Mama, mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The guy with the hair on his jaws, he... Hey, man, come over here, man. I need some help, man.
Yeah, man, I can dig that. What are you doing, man?
I'm trying to write a song about Santa Claus, man, but it's not coming
about
out.
About who, man?
About Santa Claus, man. You know Santa Claus,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, man. I played with those dudes, man.
What?
Yeah, last year at the Fillmore, man. Me and the bass player sat in, man.
Oh, hey, man, you think Santa Claus is a groove, huh? No, it's not a groove, man.
Would they break up, man?
Oh, no, man, it's one guy, man. You know, he had a red suit on, man, with black patent leather shoes. You know that guy, man?
Oh, yeah. He's with Motown, ain't he?
No, man.
Yeah, I played
not...
with that dude, too. No, yeah, he's a good singer, man.
No, hold on, man. He's not with Motown, man.
Well, then he's with Buddha, man.
No. Oh, man, you don't know who Santa Claus is, man.
Yeah, well, I'm not from here, man. I'm from Pittsburgh, man. I don't know too many local dudes.
Oh, I see. Well, hey, man, sit back and relax, and I'll tell you the story about Santa Claus, man. Listen. Once upon a time, about 5 years ago, there was this groovy dude, and his name was Santa Claus, you know? And he used to live over in the projects with his old lady. And they had a pretty good thing together because his old lady was really fine, and she could cook and all that stuff like that, you know? Like, she made the best brownies in town, man. Oh, I could remember them now, man. I could eat one of them, man. Wow,
did you know these people, man?
Oh, yeah, man. They used to live next door to me, you know, until they got kicked out, man.
What, they got kicked out of the projects, man?
Yeah, you know what happened, man? They used to live with all these midgets, you know? And the midgets used to make a lot of noise, you know, like pounding and hammering and pounding all night, man.
Typical freaks.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, man, they were really freaks, man. As a matter of fact, they all moved up north together, you know?
Oh, they have to go get their head together, man?
Yeah, get their head together, man. And they started a commune, you know? It was called the Santa Claus and His Old Lady Commune. It was a real famous one up there, man. And they used to sit around and groove all the time, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Really good time, man.
Yeah, that sounds heavy.
Yeah, eat the brownies, man, and drink the tea, man. And what they did most of the time, though, was make a lot of goodies, you know? And they had everything they needed. They only needed to come into town maybe once a year or something like that.
Pick up the welfare check and the food stamp.
Yeah, man. No, what they did, man, is once a year, when they made all the goodies, you know, they used to put them in a big shopping bag, and then they used to take the shopping bag and deliver them to all the boys and girls all the way around the world,
hey,
man.
Well, that's it, man.
Yeah,
that sounds real nice.
Oh, yeah, they were really nice people. And so much class, man, they had so much class, you know, like even take the way they used to deliver the toys, you know. It's like Santa Claus used to have this really sharp short, man, you know. It was lowered to the ground at twice pipes, candy apple red, and button top, ooh, clean.
Man, that sounds like a hip snowmobile, man.
No, it wasn't a snowmobile, it was a sled, you know. One of those big sleds, you know. And he used to have it pulled by some reindeers, you know, like reindeers.
Some what, man?
Some reindeers, you know. He used to hook them onto the sled, and then he used to stand up inside the sled and hold onto the reins, and then call out their names, like, on Donner, on Blissen, on Chewy, on Tavo, come on, Beto. And then the reindeers used to take off into the sky and fly across the sky, man.
Man, that's far out, man.
Yeah, and then when they fly across the sky, they used to come down to places like, oh, Chicago, L.A., Nueva York, and Pacoima, and all those places, you know, and then land on top of people's roofs, and then old Santa Claus would make himself real small, you know, like a real small guy, and he'd come down the chimney, and then he would give you all the stuff that he made, man, and dig this, man, he did it all in one night, man.
Hey, just a minute, man, now how'd he do that, man?
Oh, well, man, he took the freeway. How else, man?
No, man. How did he do all that other stuff, man? Like, how'd he make himself small, man? And how'd he get the reindeer off the ground, man?
Oh, well, man, he had some magic dust, man.
Some magic dust?
Yeah, magic dust. You know, used to give a little bit to the reindeer, a little bit to Santa Claus, a little bit more for Santa Claus, a little bit more.
And this would get the reindeer off, man?
Oh, got them off, man. Are you kidding, man? They flew all the way around the world, man.
Hey, that's far out, man. Hey, how come I've never met this dude, man?
Oh, man, he doesn't do that bit anymore, man. It got too dangerous, man.
Yeah, I can dig that, man, because that's a dangerous bit, man.
Yeah, let me tell you, it sure was, man. Like, just 2 years ago, man, he got stopped at the border, you know, and they took him into another room and took off his clothes, man, and searched him and searched his bag of goodies, man. And then when he was leaving, man, he was flying through the air, somebody took a shot at his reindeer, you know?
Oh, that's a drag,
yeah,
man.
It really was, man. And then, man, he went down south, man, and they tried to cut off his hair and his beard, man. And all the time he was getting stopped and pulled over and asked for his ID, man. Just everywhere he went, he ran into too much recession, man.
No, man, you mean he ran into too much repression, man.
A repression, recession, man. It's all the same thing, man.
Yeah, man. Like, it's a drag, man, because we could sure use a dude like that right now.
You know, oh, well, he still comes around, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he comes in disguises now.
Oh, he went underground.
Yeah, underground, man.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah, but you want to see his disguise, man. Nobody would ever know it was him, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's got a job in front of the department store, ringing this bell and playing this tambourine next to this black pot, you know?
Oh, I seen the dude.
Yeah, man. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. I played with that cat last year, man.
What?
Yeah, we played in front of a store, man. We made a lot of bread.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, man. Santa Claus is not a musician, man.
I'm hip, man. That cat didn't know any tunes, man.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, man. No, he's not into that at all, man.
No, I played with this dude.
Are you sure, man?
I'm positive.
Closing things up for this holiday-themed daily audio stash, another song from my friend in Nashville, Tennessee, Chief Greenbud at myspace.com/CGB, his latest song. This one is called Let's Get Blazed for the Holidays, and I sure hope you're getting blazed for the holidays, whether that's in front of a roaring fire or a roaring bowl. This is Chief Greenbud.
Let's get blazed for the holidays. Jingle bells with our eyes aglaze, merrily caroling, waiting for Santa to show. Every eye twinkling, hoping that he's gonna bring the stuff he's growing at the North Pole. We've been extra good this year, get on Santa's list. There's a secret stash in Santa's bag, and we think we know what it is. It's red and green like a Christmas tree. It's all wrapped up in twine. It's sticky sweet, I do believe. It smells like naughty pine. So let's get blazed for the holiday. Jingle bells with our eyes aglaze, merrily caroling, waiting for Santa to show. Every eye twinkling, hoping that he's gonna bring the stuff he's growing at the North Pole. We've left milk on the countertop, sugar cookies by his glass. No thanking him for everything he brought us in the past. But this year when he appears, I hope he knows what we need. A little Christmas cheer, I got the bong right here. Santa, fill it with a little weed. Let's get blazed for the holidays. Jingle bells with our eyes aglaze, merrily caroling, waiting for Santa to show. Ho, ho, ho. Every eye twinkling, hoping that he's gonna bring the stuff he's growing at the North Pole. Every eye twinkling, Santa, you just got to bring stuff you're growing at the North Pole.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with thoughts of a warm, safe, and beautiful holiday season. We hope that you're enjoying, and I want to remind you also that there's so many of our brothers and sisters who are spending this holiday behind bars or facing eviction or facing loss of children or their job, simply because, like us, they like to use a little cannabis from time to time, only they had the misfortune of getting caught. Remind yourself this holiday season that coming up in this new year, we need to rededicate ourselves to ending adult marijuana prohibition. The window is open, people are talking about it, the economy is in desperate need of a new fix, and we've got a new administration that has promised change. Let's hold them to that promise. I'm Radical Russ. Have yourself a happy holiday. We'll see you on Friday. Until that time, take care of each other, tokers.